Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr. Now, on Fort Laramie this week, it's a treat because we get to hear Raymond Burr sing. I've never heard Raymond Burr sing before, so that's going to be kind of fun. Also, Howard McNear, Doc from Gunsmoke, is going to make an appearance on Fort Laramie. So it'll be a fun, good episode of Fort Laramie. We don't have too many left, just a few more Fort Laramies. Also, on Gunsmoke, the episode is titled Gunshot Wound, and I just thought I'd talk a little bit about the injuries that have happened to our friend Matt Dillon. Now, this is the TV Matt Dillon. I'm not sure about the numbers with the radio Matt Dillon, but anyway, so Matt Dillon on TV was shot 56 different times. He was knocked unconscious 29 times. He was stabbed 3 times. And he was poisoned once. So that guy lived through a lot. But I guess he was with us for 20 years on television. That's a long time. So I could see how all of those things could happen to him in that time frame. But he's just lucky he's a survivor, I guess. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this week's episodes of Gunsmoke and Raymond Burr's Fort Laramie, and we'll see you next time for more.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Captain?
Oh, Mr. Seibert. The men looked fine, I thought.
Well, yes, sir, they looked all right.
Good drill. Good parade.
Yes, sir, but actually, I was more concerned with... Well, weren't you listening, sir?
I was watching, Lieutenant. I almost never listen to a dress parade.
No, I mean the band.
The band seemed to march real good.
Captain, the music. Frankly, I thought it was terrible.
Oh?
Usually it just sounds bad. But today it was awful. What, didn't it sound strange to you? Tinny, off-key?
I was watching B Company, Mr. Seibert's. Marched just fine.
I don't know. Maybe it's my ears.
More likely my ears. I don't pay much mind to the music. When I was a boy, my mother thought I had a promising voice. So I'd sing for her. And the hogs would come running. Then the neighbors got so they'd come running, too. I got a lot of encouragement to quit singing.
But just because you couldn't sing well, Captain, doesn't mean you don't have an appreciation for music.
Oh, I think it does, Mr. Seibert. You see, I wasn't just obliging my mother. I thought I sounded fine, too.
Well, you were considerably younger, sir. I'm sure you've outgrown all that by now. After all, with your mother to encourage you, you couldn't be blamed for thinking that you had...
Around her neck, she wore a yellow ribbon.
Captain.
She wore it in the winter and the merry month of May. And when they ask her why she...
Really, Captain, it was more about the regimental band than anything else. And if you didn't notice the band
far away, far away, she wore it for her lover who was far, far away.
Yes, sir, well, I'm beginning to think I was very mistaken, if you'll excuse
far
me,
away,
Captain.
Far away,
Captain Quinch.
Major Daggett, what are you doing? Well, I was singing, sir.
You call that singing?
Yes, I do. And I suppose it's a minority opinion.
Are you drunk, Captain?
No, sir. I can account for the singing if you're interested, Major.
I'm only interested in stopping it. We've had enough bad music around here for one day.
I thought dress parade came off fine, sir. I was very proud of B Company.
Captain, I don't want to hear another reference to dress parade today.
Yes, sir.
It's over. That's the only good thing about it. It's over. I don't want to discuss it. I don't want to hear it discussed. That's an order, Captain.
Yes, sir.
I won't even ask if you heard the band.
Did you hear the band?
Must have. I saw it. Seemed to me they marched real good.
No matter if you heard it or not, if that bellowing you call singing's a sample of your ear for music, that...
marched real good?
I thought so, sir.
If I want marching, I'll get a company of infantry. From a band, Captain, I expect just one thing, music. You think I'm being unreasonable?
Well, kind of hard to get music out of busted instruments, I imagine.
I realize some of the pieces are quite old. Schultz tells me in the field they have problems with rust, sand fouling the cornet pistons, but busted instruments?
The report said the band was brawling over something Saturday night. Someone put his foot through a field drum, some of the blow horns got smashed.
You read a report on a band brawl?
Mm-hmm. On your desk, Sunday morning, Major.
Oh. Well, I want to talk to the bandmaster, and if you'll stop delaying me, I will.
Sorry to hold you up, Major.
Lee. I'm sorry.
For what?
Well, I'm mad as the devil. Didn't mean to take it out on you.
I was handy.
And you were singing, don't forget. And it set me off.
Set Mr. Seibert's off, too.
Fact of the matter is, we have guests on the post. I wanted to be especially proud of our band. Oh, and what they did to Boots and Saddles. I think it was Boots and Saddles. I gotta see Schultz.
Tell him I thought the band marched real good.
Ailing, Harrison?
Not me, Sergeant.
Well, we'd like to get that lumber loaded so you could run the wagon up to old Bedlam, unload it, and come back here and start all over.
Now, I'm doing what I can. I swear I am.
You ain't ailing. You shake a leg.
Both of them shaking now, Sergeant.
All right, Harrison. Come out with it. I got about half a minute's patience left.
You know I'm a reasonable man. You know that right off. Well, if I'm not reasonable, maybe there's a cause.
I ain't got long to wait.
Like this contrary weather. It ought to be cooling off. Give a man a feel for hard work. It's got no right to be blazing hot this time of year.
You're asking for a change of weather?
I'd be obliged if you could arrange it, Sergeant. Anything, just any small thing would be an improvement.
Well, now... you just come to the right man, Harrison. Just for you, I'm going to change the weather. You mind now you ask me to do it?
Oh, I ask. I sure ask, all right.
Trooper Harrison?
Yes, Sergeant.
Report to the guardhouse.
Guardhouse? On what charge?
On the charge that you asked for. It takes you right out of the blazing sun. Of course, how you're going to get a breath of air or something else again. But seeing any small change would be an improvement.
Sergeant, I'll be getting back to my loading now.
I thought you wanted to change the weather.
One day I'm gonna learn to keep my mouth shut around here.
That day comes, you write me a letter so I'll know.
You know I can't write.
I tell you one good thing, Harrison.
I just ain't rising to any more bait, Sergeant.
Fatigue's over in half an hour, and after supper...
there's a band concert, I know. Well, it ain't gonna cool me off none. Not a cent's worth.
Only there ain't gonna be no band concert. In fact, if Bandmaster Schultz can't explain himself any better to Major Daggett than he has so far...
oh, my foot!
Maybe we heard the last toot ever from our regimental band.
Mm-hmm.
Pliny? Pliny? You around, Pliny?
No.
What are you doing behind the pickle barrel? You drop a penny?
Are you alone, Captain?
Sure.
I'm not exactly open. It's almost 4:30.
You'd open at midnight to sell a two-penny cigar. Now, come on out from behind that barrel.
Well, oh, my, it's unnerving. That's what it is. What did you want, Captain?
What are you whispering about?
Well, you never know who's listening these days.
I'm listening. I'm hard put to hear you. Are you going to sell me a glass of beer, or do I have to draw it myself?
Ha-ha.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Who sent you?
Pliny, it's a hot day.
Oh, no, you don't, sir. I know an investigation when I see one. Well, you may tell that committee and Major Daggett and all the powers that be that I am living up to the letter of my agreement with the United States Army.
Maybe you ought to have a glass of beer, too.
It's not my concern if the regimental band can't play without instruments.
What about the band?
No beer, no band. Oh, I'll miss the drums. Won't you?
Pliny, what time of day do you start making sense?
Why, Captain, I believe you don't know. You came here in innocence. But these are dark days, and the seeds of distrust are on the wind.
This time I'm going into the canteen and get that beer.
There is no beer. There will be no beer. Beer is a closed issue. Poor Schultz. Poor Schultz.
You keep going from beer to band.
From no beer to no band. And you can thank Mrs. Feemster and her committee for that.
Mrs. Feemster's not doing anything. She's just visiting Fort Laramie.
Her visit was ill-timed. Just when Schultz needed new instruments the worst way. But alas, 5% of nothing will not buy French horns and trumpets. And, oh, my. I will miss the drums. I'm still not reaching you, am I, Captain?
I know. No, you're not.
Then let me put it simply. A, B, C. A is for the agreement. Now then, 5% of all proceeds from the sale of beer I give to B, which is the band. From these monies, Schultz buys new instruments. That is, he did until... Oh, yes, until C. C is for committee, headed by Mrs. Feemster. The Committee for Moral Improvement, if you will. Oh, and that means no beer. It follows then, no beer, no proceeds, no band. Yeah. Oh, my. I put that well, didn't I?
If you did, you better climb in that pickle barrel, Pliny. A sutler that doesn't sell beer needs a real hiding place.
But the brine...
Salty.
Captain, I was just about to send for you.
Just came from the settlers, Major. You got any idea what's going on around here?
Hold your voice down. Come here.
Pliny was whispering, too, for a while.
Now listen to me, Lee. I get a better idea than anyone what's going on around here. Mrs. Feemster's in my office now. Let's go in here.
The army run by a woman now, Major?
That's not funny, Lee.
I don't mean it funny. I can't get a glass of beer. Pliny says that woman's why.
I've just learned from Washington that there's several thousand Mrs. Feemsters, Captain, and their ranks seem to be growing daily. Not only that, but there are also Mr. Feemsters, and their voices are getting louder every day.
Mrs. Feemster doesn't like beer?
On moral grounds.
She likes whiskey better?
Whiskey isn't the issue. Beer, light wines, such as are sold at the sutler's canteen.
Then she likes whiskey better.
She wouldn't see it that way. Besides, it isn't just the beer. That's just part of their plan for moral improvement. They want to see that all posts have libraries, more recreational facilities, concerts.
From the regimental band, playing on no instruments?
Well, Mrs. Feimster realizes the problem there.
I got nothing against libraries, recreation. We need them. But do you think we got any kind of a drinking problem at Fort Laramie?
I've never been aware of one.
If we had one, you'd be aware of it. We all would. And if we had one, it wouldn't be on account of beer served to the settlers.
I know that, Lee. You act like this was up to me. Well, let me assure you, it isn't.
Ms. Feimster, post commander?
I'm still in command here, and that means I still follow orders from Washington. That's where the real pressure's coming from. They've banned the sale of beer at Fort Sully, Fort McPherson, and Fort Totten. And I can't keep them from banning it here.
That brings us back to whiskey again. If a man can't get a glass of beer on the post, he'll go off the post. You think Mrs. Feimster knows what a hog ranch is?
A whiskey ranch? I doubt it.
Well, they got them now, all around Fort Sully and Fort Totten. And men that used to drink beer at those posts are stealing off and rotting their insides on hog ranch whiskey.
You seem pretty sure of your facts, Lee.
Ask Major Trucks. He got the information at the post surgeon's meeting last month at Fort Randall. The post surgeons are recommending that they reopen the canteens.
I wonder. Just wonder. Nah, it'd never work.
What wouldn't work?
I don't think even Major Trucks could convince Mrs. Feimster she was short-sighted.
I was thinking more of letting Mrs. Feimster make her own decision about being short-sighted.
You haven't met her, have you?
No, I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Now, Lee,
I'd like to volunteer to show Mrs. Feimster around the post tomorrow, Major.
Volunteer?
You might just tell her I'll call for her tomorrow, right after guard mount. Afternoon to you, Major. Of course, in time, we'd want to build a library building separate, but that takes time. Right now, there's only one building not being put to use.
Well, I'm sure I don't know where that is, Captain. Goodness knows we've covered most of the post.
Except the sutler's, ma'am, is just ahead.
But surely the sutler's store isn't vacant.
Well, not the store, just the canteen. It's part of the same building.
Is that where they keep beer?
When they had it, ma'am.
My dear young man, I have never set foot in a saloon, and I don't intend to go now.
A saloon's where they sell liquor, ma'am. This canteen's an empty room and a counter. But if you don't want to look at it,
you're certain there's nothing in the nature of spirits in there.
I give you my word, Mrs. Feimster. There isn't a sign of spirit in there now.
Very well, then. I suppose I should take the long view. After all, the library is the important thing. But in a saloon...
No, canteen.
I'll take your word there's a difference, Captain.
After you, ma'am.
Thank you, Captain.
Canteen straight ahead, Mrs. Feimster.
Now then, Pliny, I got a long order here. Best you write it down.
Just a moment, Sergeant. Just a moment. Captain?
Yes, Pliny? Oh, have you met Mrs. Feimster? This is Pliny Burgess, the settler.
Mr. Burgess?
Madam. Now, Captain, you know very well the canteen is... well, it's...
Yeah, we know, Pliny. We come to see how the room would do for a library.
A library? You mean books. And books in there?
We'll just look it over. You mind your customer over there.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I got cash money, Pliny.
Coming. Yes, indeed. In fact, I'm here.
Well, Mrs. Feimster?
Well, yes, I think perhaps you may be right, Captain.
Lemon extract.
This room would make...
I want all the lemon extract you got. All the vanilla, peppermint, ginger.
All?
Every drop. Then I want everything in stock in the way of cinnamon, red pepper sauces, bay rum... You got any smelly water, Pliny?
Smelly? Oh, no, I don't believe I have any. Oh, no, no.
You're not paying much mind to the room, ma'am.
Hey? Oh, why? Oh, yes, it's first rate. Splendid.
O.D. something, Pliny.
O.D.? Smelly.
Excuse me, ma'am. You'd know what I'm trying to say.
I?
You know, you women folks uses it sometimes. Smells right nice. O.D.
O.D. cologne.
Oh, that's it, ma'am. Thank you kindly. I'll take all you got, Pliny.
All I've got.
Seems to me we could get several hundred books in here, Ms. Feimster. Now, along that wall there...
Just a minute, Captain. Young man.
You talking to me, ma'am?
I am indeed. Your order to Mr. Burgess, all the lemon extract, all the cologne.
Yes, ma'am.
May I ask what you're planning to do with it?
Why, drink it, ma'am.
Drink it?
Well, maybe not all of it. I'll sell some, chances are. Maybe give some now and again to my friends.
Drink it?
Why, ma'am, you strain extract or that OD stuff through some coarse bread, you got a fine batch of alcohol.
Oh, my.
Now, myself, I'd rather have a glass of beer, but we can't get that no more here, so, well, man's left to his own devices, you might say.
Thank you, Gorse.
I just hope it did the trick, Captain.
Right now, we almost have this added up, so let me see what that... That comes to $57.43, Sergeant.
Pliny, I've been thinking this over.
Huh? Oh. Well, now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, since you're such a good customer, I'm going to let you have the whole thing for $57.33.
You drink it, Pliny. I'm going to Laramie Village for a beer.
Why, Captain, you've come to say goodbye.
No, I wasn't sure I'd be welcome, Mrs. Feimster. Major tells me you were a while settling down.
I very nearly fainted. You may as well know that.
Well, if it'd make you feel any better, it was all made up for your benefit, ma'am.
So Major Daggett assured me. Oh, my, Captain. I'm going back to Washington with a brand new outlook. I think our Committee on Moral Improvement may just revise its thinking a bit.
You talked to the post-surgeon?
Indeed I did. I'm taking the entire matter up with all of official Washington.
Yes, ma'am.
And I want to thank you for opening my eyes, Captain. And that nice orderly of yours.
Harrison?
Yes, Trooper Harrison. He's the one who makes those nice outdoor stoves.
He is?
He was cooking last evening down by the Laramie River. I was out for my evening constitutional, and he explained it all to me about his stove. A retort, a condenser, and a receiver.
Harrison, he... Called it a stove?
Oh, he had some other name for it. A foolish name, too.
A foolish name like a still?
Yes, but I could see it was a stove. He's promised to send me the plans, show me just how to make it.
Mrs. Feimster, that stove, now it's just...
Oh, my goodness, the stage is ready. Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye, Mrs. Feimster.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper, musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Howard McNear, Jeanette Nolan, and Sam Edwards. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Thank you. Are you a student, businessman, musician, stamp collector? No matter what your profession or age, your opposite number in some faraway country wants to know about you and to tell you about his own life and thoughts. CBS Radio urges you to send your name to Letters from Abroad, 45 East 65th Street, New York City, mentioning your age, occupation, and interests. They'll find you a suitable correspondent in the country of your choice. By L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Morning, Dr. Clay.
Oh, good morning, Nielsen.
You want to see me?
No, I never wanted anything less than to call you in here.
You got bad news?
Yeah, it's been bearing down on me for 2 days. But you've got to know, Nielsen.
I'm not going to make it?
Nope. Sooner or later, that bullet in you is going to kill you.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir, I'm sure.
Well, I feel good enough, Doc. You could be wrong, couldn't you?
Well, I wish I was. I don't know if I'm right in telling you about it, but I treated the same kind of case at Shiloh. And the bullet kept moving, just like yours. And there was no way to stop it.
How long did it last?
Not as long as you have. You've been going 2 months since the fight.
And how much longer I got, Doc?
Well, there's no way to know. Another month, maybe longer, maybe less. I just thought you'd want to know, Nielsen.
Better to know now than when it's too late to do anything about it.
What are you going to tell Alice?
What's there to say?
Well, with her planning the wedding, there ought to be some explanation. You, want me to tell her?
Just say I changed my mind and I'm heading west.
Where are you going?
Back to Dodge.
To look up the Mailer brothers?
If they've killed me, I don't see any reason to let them go on living.
Chester, can you force it up a little more?
Well, no, not much, Mr. Dillon.
Come on. Yeah, that's better. Hold it, then.
Well, can it turn loose now?
Now, let's just try one more nail.
Oh, the only thing that's going to fix this door is a whole new door, Mr. Dillon.
There. That'll hold it for a while.
That cussed wood's so rotten dry, it won't hold a nail no more.
Well, haven't you two given up with that door yet?
Oh, hello, Kitty.
I gave up a long time ago, Miss Kitty.
Matt, Jim Nielsen's back in town.
Jim Nielsen?
What? Nielsen's dead, Kitty.
No, he's not. He's at the Long Branch right now, spreading the word that he's come back to kill the Mailer brothers.
Are you sure?
I've seen him. I've heard him.
Well, have the Mailer boys heard about it?
It won't take long, the way it's getting talked about.
Tom Mailer rode up to Clay City, Mr. Dillon, day before yesterday. Charlie's the only one in town.
I guess I better go see him.
What about Nielsen?
Well, if he's spreading the word, he'll be where I can find him anytime I want. Charlie.
Oh. Afternoon, Marshal.
Hello, Charlie. What's the trouble?
This blamed mare got a rock in her hoof. She won't even let me pick it up.
You want me to hold her for you?
No, I'll manage. How are you, Marshal?
Oh, I'm fine, Charlie. Fine. Charlie, did you know that Jim Nielsen was in town?
Nielsen? Nielsen's dead, Marshal. Tom did for him.
He's not dead. He's back in Dodge looking for you and Tom.
All right. He's welcome.
Look, Charlie, I know a lot of people are on your side, but there are a lot of others on Nielsen's, and I'd like to stop this trouble before it goes any further.
It was a fair fight, Marshal.
I know it was.
Any time Nielsen wants to stand up again against either of us, we'll be ready.
It'd be better if you'd stay out of sight until he leaves.
I can't do that, Marshal, and you know it. People would say I was a coward.
What people say isn't important, Charlie.
I don't hide from nobody.
Now, the only thing behind that fight was some temper and some strong words. Aren't you man enough to forget it?
What are you going to do about it, Marshal?
There's nothing I can do if you're set on facing Nielsen. Except try and get him out of town.
Yourself of old-fashioned ideas.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern. Live modern.
Free up, freshen up your taste.
Smoke an L&M.
Only the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip can bring all of L&M's full, exciting flavor through to you. And that's the big reason why today more people are changing to L&M than to any other cigarette. Remember, L&M draws easier, tastes richer, smokes cleaner. So live modern. Change to L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Smoke an L&M.
It's America's fastest growing cigarette.
Hello, Nielsen.
Marshal?
Well, I didn't expect you'd ever get to Dodge again.
Guess you thought I was dead, Marshal, along with a lot of other people.
You didn't look very healthy when they took you out of here.
I'm still alive, for a little while anyway.
What good is it doing you to be back here?
Well, everybody figured the fight was over, but I don't happen to think that way.
It's a lot of trouble over nothing. You and the Mailer brothers are good men and peaceful ones. You were drinking and there were some names called. But that's sure no reason for you to come back and stir it all up again.
They thought they'd kill me, Marshal. And they were proud of it.
I don't think they were. Look, Jim. I'd like it if you'd go back to Abilene.
I'm not going to do it, Marshal. I got nothing to go back to nowhere.
What does that mean?
I'm going to die from that gunfight we had. The bullet's still in me.
Oh. There's nothing to be done about it, huh?
No. Nothing but try and settle the score.
I don't see how you're going to be any better off trying to kill two good men, Jim.
Marshal, it's a funny thing knowing you're going to die. I had too much to live for when I faced up to him the first time. I was going to get married, I owned some land. Those were the things I was thinking about. I got scared and tightened up. Man shouldn't have anything to think about in a gunfight.
It was kind of hard not to.
But I don't have now, Marshal. I don't have a thing to lose.
Jim, you're a bad man to have in town.
I won't be here long. You can count on that. Drink with me, Marshal?
No. No. Not tonight, thanks.
Nielsen. I hear you're looking for me and my brother.
You forget it, Charlie, and get out of here.
Where should I get out to, Marshal? You want me to run away, Nielsen?
Hold it, Charlie!
Is he dead, Marshal?
Yeah, he's dead. You satisfied now, Nielsen?
It was a fair fight, just like the first
one. And just as needless.
Not to my way of thinking. Tell me, Marshal, when's Charlie's brother gonna get back to town?
Tom! Hold up a minute, Tom!
Well, hello, Chester. What you doing way out here?
Mr. Dillon wanted me to stop you before you got up to the plaza.
Yeah, what for?
Well, Jim Nielsen's waiting for you.
Nielsen? Wait. What about my brother?
Charlie's dead, Tom.
Did Nielsen do it?
Charlie come after him.
I thank you, Chester. Thank the marshal.
Tom, you gonna ride in anyway?
I got no place else to go.
Yourself of old-fashioned ideas.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern. Live modern.
Free up, freshen up your taste.
Smoke an L&M.
Live modern. Smoke modern. Smoke L&M. Enjoy full, exciting flavor through L&M's Pure White Miracle Tip. L&M draws easier, tastes richer, smokes cleaner. That's why today more people are changing to L&M than to any other cigarette. So free up, freshen up your taste, live modern, change to L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Smoke an L&M.
It's America's fastest growing cigarette.
Hello, Kitty.
Tom, I thought you were in Clay City.
I was. I did real well, too. I signed up for Charlie and me to take a pack train clear to Lincoln County. Charlie's dead.
Can I get you a drink, Tom?
Maybe later. I thought Nielsen was here.
He left about a half hour ago.
Happened to know where he went?
No. Can't you get your pack train together and go, Tom?
Oh, you know I can't, Kitty.
What good's it gonna do you looking for Nielsen or waiting for him?
It's something I got to do.
If he kills you, what are you gonna be proving?
My brother's dead.
Killing Nielsen won't bring him back. Some men ought to be killed, sure, but not you and Nielsen. You're fine men, both of you.
My brother was a good man, too. Kitty, what would you have me do?
I don't know, Tom. Being the kind you are, and after what's already happened, I guess I got no right trying to tell you what to do.
Now, do you know if Nielsen figured on coming back here?
I don't know, Tom. I'm going to my room.
I was just about to order that drink.
Then you'll have to have it without me.
Thank you for sitting with me, Kitty.
Matt. How long have you been here?
There's not a thing I can do, is there, Kitty?
Not if you don't take the guns away.
Yeah, they'd only find more.
Then you watch them kill each other, Matt. I can't do it.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah?
He's coming, Mr. Dillon.
How long, Chester?
It won't be but a few minutes. He was looking for Tom over at the Alafraganza.
All right. You get out of sight someplace.
All right, sir.
Afternoon, Marshal.
Hello, Tom. Look, Tom. I'm going to ask you to do a brave thing. Will you let me keep your gun for as long as you're in town?
No, I won't, Marshal.
You and I have been good friends, Tom.
I'd like to keep it that way.
But you won't do what I say, huh?
What would you do with you in my spot?
What you're gonna do, I guess. Tom, it's a different kind of a fight this time. Nielsen's gonna die from the bullet you put in him 2 months ago, and he knows it. He's got nothing to lose.
I kind of wondered why he come back.
That's why. Now, will you either take off your gun or get out of town?
I'd like to leave, Marshal. I'd like to be rigging our string of mules with Charlie. But there won't be any more of that.
All right. All right, Tom. I told Nielsen, and I'll tell you from the beginning, this thing has been needless. My mistake was not throwing the three of you in jail right off.
Marshal Dillon, have a drink with me.
No thanks, Tom. I'm going back to my office. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, Nilsson, I guess there's no reason trying to talk any sense into you either.
It's gone past talking, Marshal. You aren't figuring on stopping me.
There's nothing I can do.
I'll see you later.
Nothing I could do for him, Matt. He's dead.
Oh, my goodness. Seemed like such a waste. He was a good man, both of them was.
There's no reason for you to feel bad, Matt. You tried your very best to stop it.
Someday there's going to be a law about carrying guns, and there's going to be fights like these that'll bring it.
A man's got the right, Mr. Dillon.
They're going to lose it, Chester, if this sort of thing doesn't stop. Doc, I'll have the body taken away.
All right, man.
I'll be with you if you want me to.
Yeah, sure, Chester. I think I'm ready for that drink everybody offered me.
Me too. You reckon Miss Kitty knows?
By this time, I'd think so.
There he is, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Hey, Nilsson! Well, you made it, huh? You killed both the Mailer brothers.
Yeah?
And in fair fight, huh?
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. Make you feel any better?
No. Tell you the truth, it don't.
Moment, our star, William Conrad. Americans today are earning more money than ever before. And smart Americans are planning ahead, too, to preserve prosperity. They're investing part of their paycheck every payday in United States savings bonds. And you can, too, an easy, automatic way, by joining the payroll savings plan and buying savings bonds regularly where you work. With payroll savings, money is set aside for you by your employer before every payday, in any amount you say. That way, you never plan on the money and never miss it. Payday after payday, these sums grow into savings bonds, and before long, you'll find you have a collection of them. And remember, every Series E bond you buy pays back $4 at maturity for every three. That's right. You get back $4 for every three invested. Help today's higher earning power pay off for you tomorrow. Begin saving regularly with United States Savings Bonds. Join the Payroll Savings Plan. And now, William Conrad.
You know, on the frontier, a woman had to scratch pretty hard to make any kind of a home for a man. And next week, a woman who had worked at this for over 20 years finally lets the frontier beat her, and a man dies. But that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Gil Dowd, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Vic Perrin, Lawrence Dobkin, and Jess Kirkpatrick. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.